what that is, that's the Texas flag, right? I almost get it confused with the Chilean flag because it looks almost identical. But went down to Texas for 3 weeks and suffered through 80-degree weather every day without snow. It was tough. No, we did have some cold weather. As y'all had cold weather, we had cold fronts and whatnot. Got down to Texas and, of course, just examining things, praying about things, looking at what things would look like in the Rio Grande Valley. Now, on a different date, Sunday or next Wednesday or whenever, I'll have a video put together so you can have a better idea of what the Rio Grande Valley looks like. But it is a metropolitan area. So when you think of Texas, this is not what you think of. There are approximately 1.4 million people in the Rio Grande Valley. It's not, you know, where bulrushes and cactus are. There are a lot of cactus, palm trees, but there are a lot and lot of people. One thing that you'll notice is most of the signs for restaurants and whatnot are in English or Spanish, because that is a large Spanish-speaking part of our country. It is right on the border with Mexico. As a matter of fact, we were just maybe at one point in time, we were pretty much on the border of Mexico. So as you can imagine, there are lots of people that are from Mexico or second or third generation Mexicans in the Rio Grande Valley. But we kind of felt a little bit at home as far as being able to speak Spanish. When you hear people speak, you don't hear the Texas accent. You usually are going to hear a more of a Spanish accent, even when they're speaking English. There are tortilla stands, taco stands, trailers, restaurants, everywhere you go. It's a mix of Texas and Mexico, which is why they called the gas station Texaco, right? That's what it is. But we were able to spend some time with some families. We had in-home Bible studies, which were enjoyable to have. I preached in Spanish every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday. I was preaching in Spanish. So it felt good to do that and to have praise and worship in Spanish. We're praying for the people, and whether or not the Lord would have us to do more work down there or not is really up to Him. We're just seeking what the Lord wants us to do. Like I said, we'll put a video together just so you have a better idea of what it looks like down there. Lots of areas are rural, and then lots of it is city, and then there's a lot of rural areas in the city and a lot of city areas in the rural areas. It's a bit confusing, but praise the Lord, we were able to have a good trip to think about a lot of things, see a lot of things, see what the cost of living is like, and of course, that is changing every day, right? The cost of living is just going up, 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 and up. We did hear that, of course, you hear a lot more about Mexico in the news down in South Texas because that's where most people are from. And so they had even mentioned in Mexico, the area where they produce almost all of the avocados that come imported into the United States has been taken over by the cartels. So that affects how things work in South Texas. As you know, since it's a border state, imports, exports, that all goes through the southern border as well. So it was interesting to see and learn some things, watch the culture. It's a very mixed culture. It is not like Kentucky, okay? Y'all is not a word, not down there. So we'll see what the Lord would have for us. Continue to pray for us. The people in Peru are also feeling the changes in the economy. The assistant pastor down there told me that what would normally the church would buy styrofoam cups and styrofoam plates because after every service, they have some kind of coffee and cake or something. And what normally would cost about $6 or so just cost them about $20. So things are hitting everywhere. It's not just the United States. It's worldwide, and people are starting to really feel the change. In South Texas, there are a lot of families that, you know, are struggling. There are lots of families that are living in small trailers, old trailers, things like that. This change in the economy will also affect a lot of the people living here in the States. But we're praying about those people and what the Lord would have us to do. Just continue to pray for us, that the Lord would guide us and where we need to be. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, maybe, Lord, just let me start traveling and preaching everywhere. maybe he doesn't want me to church plant. Maybe he wants me to do evangelism. I don't know, but continue to pray for us. I told Pastor that it's been a torture to not know exactly what I'm supposed to do, where we're supposed to be for a permanent basis, but that's part of being patient. Right? Waiting on the Lord can be torture sometimes to us because we want answers and we want them now. But the Lord will show us in his time, so just continue to pray for us. Pastor said I had about 20 minutes, and so I'm going to keep it to about 20 minutes. And that puts me at, let's see, okay, about quarter till. Let's see if we can get through tonight's message in about 20 minutes. Tonight, I want to talk about having compassion. This has motivated me. It has also made me realize how much I fail at this, how quick I am to judge. It is sometimes easier said than done. And I would say that most of the things that we learn in the scriptures are easier said than done because we still have that sin. That sinful nature in our lives. And so tonight we're going to read from Matthew. We're just going to read four verses. Like Pastor said, it's just a devotion, but I want to share what the Lord's been burdening my heart with. We start in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. The Word of God says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Tonight we examine those four verses, and the first thing I want us to see is his compassion. We read the first two verses, we see that Jesus was traveling about. One of the things I love is that the Lord never tells us to do something that he didn't do on this earth. He set the example for us. We look at the Great Commission, and one of the things that we understand about the Great Commission is that the people will not come to us. We must go to them. Jesus was going to preach. And I know that I was raised in a Sovereign Grace Baptist church, but a lot of times I believe that we, a Sovereign Grace Baptist, become hard shells. We don't believe in going and telling others. We believe just because we know that God will save his chosen, we believe that they will get saved somehow, and it really is not our business. It is our business. It's the business he gave us to do, is to go and preach the gospel. He sets the example. He's going into the cities and villages. He's teaching in the synagogues. I thought about this. You know, what were they teaching in the synagogues? And here he goes in and he says, I'm going to preach the truth in the synagogue. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, you see, we think about this for a second. He is preaching the truth everywhere. We are very selective about where we preach the truth. We are very selective about who we share the gospel with. We really want people to come to this building so they can hear the gospel. And even though we don't say that, we really, that's showed in our actions. Our burden for sharing the gospel has not been a burden lately. We as Christians have given up. We're so busy thinking that this is the end times and this is the end of the world. We're so busy stocking our shelves that we forgot that there's something great to do. And that's to preach the gospel. He's given us the message to preach. But we see that Jesus is, he's preaching. He's healing the sick. And we see in verse 36, he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Now, I was looking up at this word compassion, and I was studying out this word compassion. And it's almost that gut-wrenching feel that hits you in the bowels, that hits you in the pit of your stomach. I was thinking about this. When is the last time that we observed our people, our nation, our neighbors, and got that gut-wrenching, horrible feeling about their salvation? When was the last time it hit us and knocked the wind out of us that our neighbors are dying and going to hell? I would say that it hasn't happened for a while. And we are all guilty. I am guilty of not looking at the multitudes and realizing in what state they are in. It's easy for us that have received Christ as our Savior because we have security. We're sure about where we will be. The Lord is taking care of their physical needs. He is preaching to them to take care of their spiritual needs. And he is moved with compassion. When is the last time that we were moved with compassion for souls? Not for a physical need. I've been here long enough at Faith that I know that this is a church that will act on physical needs. I've watched pastors so many times say, so-and-so needs a help. We've been beneficiaries of that compassion. But what about the compassion for the soul that is lost? We have lost that. If that was not true, if it wasn't true that we've lost that compassion, why are the pews tonight emptier than they were Sunday morning? Why are we not all here being fed and prepared to go out and share the gospel with others? Because we don't have that compassion. Why is it that we could say that it has been months since we have shared the gospel with somebody? Why is it that some of us could say that it has been years since we have shared the gospel with somebody? Why is it that some would say that they have never done it? Because we do not observe the multitudes as Christ did. It affected Christ. It hit him. He was moved because of the state of the people. That's his compassion. I want us to next look at their condition. The condition of the people. Look what the Word of God says. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. And then it tells us why. Because they fainted. Because they fainted. If you take a look at the definition I found in Webster's 1828 dictionary, he says, what is faint? To sink into dejection, to lose courage or spirit. This is not they were passing out on the ground, okay? They were faint. They felt dejected. They were miserable. They were stressed. They had no hope. Jesus is looking at the multitude. They were faint of heart. Yet today, we're too busy looking at our own selves and what we desire and what we want that we don't look at what others need. They were in a terrible state. They were distraught. They were discouraged. Sometimes I think about we as Christians, as baptized believers, as church members, if we don't even care about the church members that are discouraged, Why would we care about the lost? You know, it's interesting because lots of times we only reach out to certain people. We'll reach out to certain people that we know are discouraged. But a lot of times what we do is we'll just judge. We automatically assume because someone's not in God's house that it's because they're off just living it up in sin. We never think that they're discouraged. They're distraught. But if we wouldn't have that kind of compassion for the believer, what kind of compassion would we have for the lost? You see, Jesus had compassion on them because they were faint. But not only that, I want you to see, I like something that I had read. I was reading this. It stuck out to me. It said, Jesus is the true shepherd. Without him, there is nothing but fainting, fatigue, vexation, and dispersion. Oh, that we may be led out and in by him and find pasture. I want you to see not only their condition, but I want you to see their confusion. Look at this. Yes, you're rubbing off on me. Stop it. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They're confused. They don't know where to go. Where are the answers? What do we do? What purpose does our life have? You see, the people without a shepherd, how will they act? That's what we call chaos. They'll act on however they think is best. That's what we call anarchy. Today, why is our world in the state that it is in? Why is our nation in the state that it is in? Why are our churches in the state that they are in? Let me tell you, one of the reasons is there's no shepherd. He hasn't moved, but we haven't taken him to the shepherd. Let me tell you something. If the Lord is our shepherd, we wouldn't be walking around faint, and we wouldn't be walking around confused. But let me tell you something. The lost soul walks around that way. And yet we judge that lost soul and we don't say, hey, you know what? Our government does what our government does because they don't have a shepherd. I was sharing with, we're doing a Zoom men's Bible study, me and some friends and some of the guys here. And I shared, I was in Texas and I went into a grocery store, and as I was coming out, a girl walked into the grocery store and she had short shorts on and just a brassiere sports bra. And I thought, they used to not allow that. You used to not be able to see that. Walk into a store. They wouldn't serve you. Right? And my human thought is, why in the world would a girl dress like that to go grocery shopping? But my thought was not, she doesn't have a shepherd. We are so quick to judge and so slow to have compassion on the lost soul. They were scattered abroad. They weren't together. The people acting as if they had no shepherd. They didn't realize that the good, the perfect shepherd was right there. I heard a pastor say not too long ago, last month sometime, he said he got to talk to somebody that lives here in this area that had no idea what the gospel was. The shepherd is right there, but he did not know it. Let me tell you, we call ourselves Christians because we are to be Christ-like, yet we have no compassion Can we not see that the multitude is fainted and scattered like sheep that have no shepherd? So we see their condition. We see their confusion. Charles Spurgeon said, When I thought God was hard, I found it easy to sin. But when I found God so kind, so good, so overflowing with compassion, I smote upon my breast to think that I could have ever rebelled against one who loved me so and sought my good. Compassion. Next, we see our cry of compassion. And with this, we'll end. Our cry of compassion. Look at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what I love about that cry to the Lord is that it doesn't say, pray that he will send others. He says, pray that he will send forth laborers. Meaning that could be you too. You know, we kind of get stuck in this idea that we truly do. That's the pastor's job. I'll get them to church and I'll let the pastor preach at them. That's okay. I mean, we want them. The more they hear, the better, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But that is not what we should be praying for. Lord, please bring them to the church service so pastor can preach to them. No, he says, pray. Ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what we need today? We need laborers. What is missing in our churches today? Brother Ben knows how many churches, pastor knows how many churches have no pastors. Back when we surrendered, well, when we were going to the mission field, we had surrendered a long time before that, but when we were going to the mission field for the first time, I remember another guy surrendering and another guy surrendering, another guy from different churches, and everyone was going out to the mission field to do work. Guess what? We haven't hardly heard of anyone going to the mission field since. A few have surrendered to preach, a few have become pastors, but no one's going to the mission field. No one wants the pastor. Evangelists are pretty much gone and disappeared. You know, the interesting thing is the Lord doesn't put an age on his laborers. We just need to pray that he'll send them. And the only way that we are going to be faithful in praying that the Lord would send laborers is if we learn, as Christ did, to have compassion on the lost soul. Well, that's my devotion for tonight. Having compassion. Will you have compassion as Christ did? Will it be that gut-wrenching hurt for the lost soul because of their state? Or will you just walk blindly through the rest of this life? And then when the Lord judges you, what will you say? That was Pastor Joe's job. Or will you say, Lord, I begged you to send forth laborers. Will he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done for you having that compassionate heart for lost souls. We need to regain that fire for lost souls. We want to see people saved. Praise the Lord, we want to see our family members saved, but we need to think about our neighbors. We need to think about our co-workers. I think it was Steve Green singing that song, People Need the Lord. They sure do. just as much as we do, they do too. Pastor.